chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Bill Ellis on the show today. Bill is the host of the What's the Point podcast, which is dedicated to helping people define, clarify, and live their purpose, fueling it with passion and evolving it through persistence. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So, Bill, I am so excited today to have you as a guest on the Something Extra podcast. Thank you so much for honoring me with your presence today.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's absolutely a pleasure to be here, and I'm thrilled to have a chance to speak with you.
So, and it's funny because when you and I met last year, you invited me onto your podcast, and we have developed an even closer relationship because now you are a consultant for Technology Partners, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But before we do and talk about what you're doing today, tell me a little bit about how you grew up, Bill.
Well, I grew up with a very loving family. I'm not sure I'd call it a large family, but there were 5 siblings. We moved quite a bit because my father was in the military. So of the 5 children, my oldest sister was born in Louisiana, which is our family home. My next sister was born in Okinawa. My brother was born on ship between Hawaii and San Francisco. I made an appearance in Philadelphia, and my younger sister made her arrival in Germany. So we did a lot of moving. It was very interesting to see different places. It was also somewhat challenging in that there was always new people to meet and new situations to adjust to. And some of that was great. Some of that was a challenge as a child. But when my father retired from the Army, he moved home to his home of New Orleans. And that's the first place I've lived long enough to call home. So New Orleans is my home. My mother grew up in the bayous, south and west of there. All in all, it was a great childhood.
Well, that kind of explains it. Being half time in St. Louis, half time in Dubai did not scare you because you were already used to being adaptable to new places, right?
I think I became more adaptable with age. And I think that's part of the evolution of myself and my life's perspective. But it was just an opportunity that I couldn't pass up.
Right.
So to explain to your listeners, I'm in Dubai because this is where my wife lives full time. I live full time in St. Louis. The obvious question is, we met at a business conference in Florida almost 10 years ago. We've been married for closing in on 6 years. And it's just one of those things that when you see an opportunity that is what you've always looked for, you learn to adjust your norms and your typical restrictions and just say, I'm going to take advantage of this because it's what I've looked for my whole life. And that just happened to be the case for both of us. So we're going to do this as long as it takes for us to be together. And eventually the plan is that we'll both be living in St. Louis.
You know, I'm glad. I'm glad that you took that chance. And I know you guys are very happily married. So, you know, I know in 1981, I believe, is when you joined, you know, an iconic brand here in St. Louis, Anheuser-Busch. And you spent 25 years in brand management for Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, actually, Lisa, I started with AB in 1979 in New Orleans when New Orleans was a company-owned distributorship. So at the time, there were only 11 or 12 company-owned distributors out of almost 1,000 back in the day. There's fewer now. But it was Anheuser-Busch Incorporated distributing, and I was able to have a chance to do some work in St. Louis, and that led to an opportunity to interview and get out of street sales in New Orleans and get into brand management, yes, in St. Louis. And that move happened in 81. So yeah, I had 25 years with one of the best companies that I'm familiar with. And the vast majority of those, probably 20 of those 25 years, was in brand management.
So I consider you a brand management expert. I mean, you've been looking at brands your whole adult life. And I know at one point I'd read like your mission was to make good brands better. But then you had a little bit of a pivot. And I want to read something here. You said there's a big difference between a need and a want. And you really had come to the place where you felt like you had got all you wanted, but maybe not all you needed. And you said that your need was a purpose. And so you did a pivot. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah. So I was very, very fortunate to work for a brilliant company and work with some absolutely top-notch professional people. But it got to the point that a lot of the corporate culture, and this is long before it became Anheuser-Busch InBev, so in fairness, I need to disclose that. But it just got to the point that the corporate structure and my approach were no longer meshing. That is when I had the chance to, as you call it, pivot and move on from Anheuser-Busch. What that allowed me was time to truly reflect on what my life was and where I was going, and started to realize that a question I should have been asking myself from a very young age is, what's the point? What are you doing this for? Why are you doing it? What's your purpose? And that's evolved to the work that I do today.
What year was that? 2003?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
You know, I told you I'm excited about our conversation today because I think a lot of people sometimes go their whole life maybe and don't get to that level of critical thinking and comprehensive thinking of asking those hard questions. Why am I even here? What's my purpose? You know, and you talk so much, and that is your purpose today, is to help other people step into their purpose, right? And it's so important. You know, you say this, you say our purpose, it's fueled by our passion. So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, how do you even get people to start thinking this way?
There has to be a willingness on the part of the business or the business owner or the individual that I work with to even be open to some different perspective. So what I do is I start with questions, and it's, how satisfied are you? And that's where it evolved to my go-to question of, what's the point? Because you can ask that question endlessly because people have an answer, but what you have to do is find out the thing behind the thing. So if you're feeling a certain way, you're feeling that way for a reason. What is the reason? And you can just dig deeper and deeper. And in my case, I can speak most knowledgeable about myself. It was a very slow evolution. Other people have something like a white light experience, but in my case, it has been a very slow evolution and a lot of time spent in self-reflection. So when I work with other people, I attempt to put myself as best I can in their position, not to think the way they do, but to understand where they're coming from. And more often than not, I've been there to some degree or another. But it's a matter of asking questions and really gaining trust, first of all, building a relationship, and then getting them to the point of really taking the time to answer that question. Are you satisfied with what you're doing, where you're doing, and what your path is in life? And then it's just a matter of getting deeper and deeper.
I love that. And I think that as humans, we need to spend more time in that reflective mode and introspective mode. I don't know who to give credit to this, but I love this quote. You don't want to get to the end of your life and realize that your ladder was against the wrong wall.
I've heard that from you, and I absolutely love that quote. I don't know who said it either, but it makes all the sense in the world. And that too sums up where I was climbing a ladder as best I could, not as fast as others, But it suddenly occurred to me that it wasn't the wall I wanted to be going up anyway, which helps to explain why I wasn't climbing the ladder as fast as perhaps some other people that I knew. So that's a great analogy, a great saying. I love it.
So Bill, products have brands, organizations have brands, people have brands too. You know, there's a personal brand. So you've got what you call the five branding pillars. Can you dig into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, Lisa. Thank you. Because it does start with what's the point? Because frankly, anything and everything is a brand if you want to look at it that way. If you look at it the way I define it, which very simply, our brand is our value proposition. What do people expect when they see us, hear about us, become aware of us? And that's an individual. That's a business, that's a product, that's a service. It's a matter of finding your purpose. So what I talk about is the purpose principle. And you've heard, and other people have heard, if you live your passion, you'll never work a day in your life. And I call BS on that because it doesn't start with passion. It starts with finding out a purpose. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? And that's true for a person. That's true for a company, a product, a service. Simon Sinek calls it start with why. I say finding your purpose, and it's not always a singular purpose. It's not always a static, never changing purpose. Our purpose evolves. We can have more than one purpose, but it's our purpose that ignites our passion. And that's what fuels us on our accomplishing our purpose. And then the third part of my purpose principle is persistence, which is it's not going to happen immediately. It's going to change and there's going to be evolution. So if you're talking about an individual, one way to do it is if you can envision a Venn diagram and one circle has, these are all of my skills, talents, assets, attributes. The next circle has, what really excites me? What do I like? What am I good at? And where those circles cross, that intersection of here's what I'm talented with and here's what excites me starts to get you to answering the question, what's the point? But there's a third circle you have to throw into that Venn diagram. And that Venn diagram is completed in my model with the circle of relevance. So it gets to the point of I'm good at something, I really like doing something, and I see an end to it, but does it pass the so what test? Does anyone other than me care? Does anyone other than my company care? And that's kind of what's important. So once you have an idea of the answer to the question of what's the point, then I talk about the five pillars to support that brand. And those five pillars are leadership, behavior, communication, influence, and team. And those are listed in order, but they're interdependent and they're not necessarily sequential. But it does, I think, start with leadership. And that's why it's such an honor and a pleasure to be on the Something Extra podcast, because that's where you focus so brilliantly with all of your guests. But those are the five areas that I have found provide the best foundation to make what is a good brand a better brand. Mm-hmm. And all of us are a brand and we're all good brands. All of us can get better. It's why the best athletes in the world have coaches. It's why the best businesses in the world hire consultants, because we all have a chance to get better.
Yes. And I love that your purpose is to help others get better at that. Uh-huh. So we got a lot more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Bill Ellis.
Are you an IT executive with years of experience? Are you energized when you empower others? If I've piqued your interest thus far, you may be a great mentor for the TechLX program in St. Louis. TechLX prepares rising IT leaders to tackle today's challenges and prepare for tomorrow's demanding roles by pairing them with senior IT executives like yourself. Mentors receive coaching from technology partners and will be invited to all TechLX networking events featuring outstanding speakers of the IT industry. To apply, visit tpi.co/TLX.
So, Bill, you just went through your five branding pillars. And I want to ask you, because I get asked this question a lot about influence. What is influence? I think people want to make a difference in the world. And I've had people ask, how do you have more influence? How can I get more influence? So can you dig into that a little bit and tell me what would you say? I mean, what do you think influence even is?
Influence is very simply the ability to move people to a desired action. But the important thing to understand about influence is it's a function of pulling. It's a function of attraction. It's not a matter of pushing. So the influence is appealing to people that they're attracted to whatever end you're trying to get them to realize or whatever concept you're trying to get them to realize. Pushing is more manipulation and it's something more forceful. So that's the difference. Influence is driven by taking the time as best we can to understand the other person, to be empathetic towards what their thoughts are, and to try to position our goal or our theory in such a way that they're going to relate to it. So one thing I would suggest to anyone that really wants to take a deeper dive into influence is to read the fourth in the series of Go-Giver books called The Go-Giver Influencer, where Bob Berg and John David Mann masterfully outline the five key factors of influence. Frankly, it's my favorite of the four Go-Giver books, which is kind of like saying I have a favorite child, but that's a book I strongly urge people to read, The Go-Giver Influencer.
Yes, I agree. I love that book too. And when Bob was on the podcast, we talked about that book. I love that book. I can remember Jim Swanson, who was the global CIO for Bayer. But I remember, and I never had anyone on the show that said the something extra that every leader needs was influence until Jim Swanson.
Sure.
Because he said, you know, I'm the CIO of a global company. And if I don't have the influence, to your point, moving people into a desired action, you know, then I'm not a very effective leader.
Yeah, I agree.
So tell me, Friday's Fearless Brands blog, I know you're not doing that anymore, but I have read several of your blogs and see, you influenced me, Bill. You moved me to desired action because one of the people that you wrote about was Matthew McConaughey. In fact, I remember, and I cannot remember, I don't think it was A Time to Kill. Maybe it was. And the casting agent was not going to cast him. And he said, no, I know this character. And he starts to tell the casting agent, no, this is the mind of this character. And he changed that casting agent's mind and he was cast. But it's just really, you just did a beautiful job in kind of describing him. But one of the things that you had done was said, if you haven't read it, go read his commencement speech.
Right.
And so I did go do that. And he has 13 truths that he kind of outlines in this commencement speech that were so good. One of those is dissect your successes. You know, the easiest way to do that is through gratitude. Number 9, I thought this was funny. Move from can to want. And he was describing to a friend, now he had all this success. He got his first big paycheck in 1995. He said he thinks it was $150,000. And he was describing to this friend that he now has this maid. It's great. She washes my clothes. She does the dishes. She leaves me cook meals. And she even presses my jeans. Do you remember that?
I do. You know, one of my favorite, if not my absolute favorite of that list of 13 is when he says, give your obstacles credit. I talked about some of my journey through Anheuser-Busch and where it kind of got sideways a little bit. And I've had my share of missteps in my life. But what I know without a doubt is I had to go through what I went through to become the man I am today. And without obstacles, obstacles are lessons if we let them be lessons. They are roadblocks and resentments and negativity, if that's what we allow. But eventually we have to look at our obstacles and say, this is what I learned. And hopefully we've learned something.
Absolutely. Well, that's beautiful. I love that, Bill.
Yeah. And there was a time in my life I did. This is why it's so relevant to me. If I would have looked at obstacles just as me being a victim, then I'm going to have a pretty unsatisfying life. If I look at obstacles and say, hey, stuff happens. What can I learn from that? Then I'm moving in a more positive way. So that's why I love that one statement, to give your obstacles credit.
Well, I'm going to go on. And those Friday Fearless Brand blogs really inspired you then to go on and write your book. And I told you I knew things about you, but that I did not know. So in 2017, you wrote the book, Women Who Won.
Yes.
And tell me what your inspiration was.
Well, very simply is I had been writing that blog and my wife and Bob Berg and John David Mann and others have been saying you should use that as a basis for a book. And I kept struggling with how I would do that. And then I was asked by a friend who had started a program to advance women in banking here in St. Louis. she asked me if I would give her people a workshop. And I said, well, absolutely. But I didn't really know how to tailor things to a female perspective, or if there even could, because to me, branding is somewhat broad. So I went back through all my blogs and started reading all the ones I'd written about females. And that's when the light went off and said, well, here's your book. Let's take all these women. They're magnificent women who have overcome obstacles, who have achieved things that many haven't gotten credit for. And let's make this book. And then the inspiration became not just to make the book, but to write it. Most of the brands I'd written about, people either knew or had some type of really major accomplishment. But there are so many people in the world that aren't that. So I focused on my mom, and that's what inspired me. And then I segued that to, I want people to read this book, to read these stories, to acknowledge the power and the ability and the accomplishments of women, so that my twin granddaughters will have a better life when they start to grow up. And they're starting to see a little bit of that. And that makes me very happy.
Yes, that's awesome. Well, I've not read the whole book, but I've read several of your stories in there. And Bill, I told you, and you said, I knew that it would, but I said, the one that obviously really captured my heart was the story of Isabella Springmule. Tell our listeners a little bit about Isabella Springmule.
Isabella and her family are from Guatemala and pretty poor. She is a girl with Down syndrome. Very lovely, very talented. She loved the bright colors of Guatemalan clothing and fashion, and she started to design her own clothing, and she was turned down to some schools and obstacles put in her way. And long story short, she didn't let that stop her. She just kept going. She created her style. She ended up being shown, if I remember correctly, at a fashion show. It was either Paris or London.
London.
And then people saw what an incredible talent she is. And the rest, as they say, is history. She's been highly successful. She's just a beautiful, delightful young lady. Very accomplished in what she has done because she discovered her purpose and had the persistence, and all of that ignited her passion.
Yeah, you say in that story that even at 6 years old, she was making little clothing for her rag dolls.
Yeah.
You know, and so really had an appreciation for that at a very young age. But I love this. Heed others' advice and input, but it's up to you to define who you are, what you can do, and what you will do. And you said she was turned down numerous times for admission to university and fashion design schools because she had Down syndrome and because they limited, you know, they had a limited belief in what she could accomplish, but she did not let those outside voices limit what she was able to do. So I love that.
So let me just add this, if I may, real quickly, because what that demonstrates is the antithesis to critical thinking, where it's preconceived notions without the ability to have critical thinking and see different possibilities. And let me just read this quote because I love it and it just seems to fit right here. There's a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. And I love that phrase, and it's attributed to Herbert Spencer, although there's some discussion if it was really his quote. It doesn't matter. The quote is great. And contempt prior to investigation sums up what Isabella had to face and what many, if not all of the women in the book, Women Who Won, and many people, men and women, face on a daily basis.
Well, thank you for writing that book, Bill. And to our listeners, go get the book. It will inspire you reading the stories of these amazing women. So, Bill, now, I mean, you're doing the What's the Point podcast.
Yes.
And what was your point in doing that podcast?
You know, it's really kind of going along, Lisa, with what's most effective in the market today. You know, so the blogs I wrote were more short stories. Seth Godin writes a blog every day that's a paragraph or two. If he writes five paragraphs, he's wordy. I was just getting warmed up at that point. So it took a lot of time. It took a lot of effort and I enjoyed it, but I did it every Friday for 6 years and it started to get a little burnout. But more importantly, people are more receptive these days to video and to audio, as you well know. And again, with the encouragement of my wife, I started the podcast at the start of this year, called it What's the Point? Because that's what I want people to ask themselves. So the reason I've done this and what I want to accomplish is for people to, through stories of others, start to discover and or clarify and embrace their purpose and then live their purpose. And doing it through story helps people relate. And what I say is, I'm going to have some guests that you've heard of before, Bob Berg, John David Mann, haven't gotten to Matthew McConaughey yet. But what I say is, you're going to hear a lot of people that you've never heard of, but you should. Mm-hmm. And there's so many guests that I've had that are exactly that. Such powerful stories of purpose and accomplishment.
I love it. Well, so this is called Something Extra. Bill, I have to ask you, what is the something extra that you believe every leader needs, or the something extras? I'll give you a couple if you want to dive in there.
Well, I appreciate that, because I'm going to take you up and I'm going to take your couple and expand it to three.
Okay.
I'll just state them up front. I think three essentials for any leader, not exclusively, but essentials are communication, curiosity, and confidence. And what I mean by communication is that I've heard for years companies and people say we need more communication. And again, I call BS, because we don't need more communication. We need more effective communication. You know, and it's George Bernard Shaw that says the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it's taken place. So how often do we say something and think people have understood it and they haven't, or conversely heard something that we didn't necessarily take the way it was intended? Effective communication is critical, and being open to understanding how people communicate is critical. Curiosity, you know, there again, understanding people, understanding your purpose, finding out what's the point, being open to new things, getting rid of contempt prior to investigation, seeing what the possibilities are, exploring the opportunity put in front of you to be married to someone that lives 7,512 miles away from you. And the last one is confidence. I think every leader has to have confidence, not just confidence in their ability, not confident that they're always right, but confident enough to admit when they're wrong, confident enough to take other people's input and to incorporate it, and also confident enough to say that's not where we're going. So those three, communication, curiosity, and confidence, are my three rolled into one for you.
Very good. I love it. Well, you can hyphenate all of them, because that's what you told me to do with my one word this year is love more. And I said, Bill, I'm breaking, you know, the rule. I'm not in compliance. So you said, well, just hyphenate it, Lisa. And that's precisely what
there
I did.
There you go.
So thank you
there
for
you
that
go.
Creativity there. So Bill, what's coming up for you? Something that you want our listeners to know about, how they can get involved? Feel free to talk about that.
Yeah, at this point, two things, I think, Lisa. Anyone that is interested in understanding more my approach to brand and branding and what it means for them, whether it be an individual or a company, I've got two websites, brandingforresults.com, brandingpillars.com. On both of them, I've got a self-brand audit. And it's something that will start to provide some thought provocation for yourself, for your company, for whichever brand you're doing this about. It will start to open your eyes. And then if there's questions or opportunities, feel free to reach out. I'm happy to do free discovery sessions and talk through the results of that once you get them. And then the other thing I would just ask, if people have time, to check out the What's the Point podcast, episode 10, with this very talented woman that I'm speaking with. Episode 20 is my wife. So we're moving along. But I think there's some brilliant guests on there with some stories that will really touch lives.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Bill, for being on the show today. It was just such a delight to spend this time with you. And I know that your story, I know that your wisdom and your insights is going to help our listeners. So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity very much. And I look forward to seeing you again soon, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.